Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of TAG Immobilien AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Martin Thiel, CFO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Yeah, many thanks and good morning, everyone. This is Martin from TAG. Many thanks for dialing in today's conference call regarding the acquisition of ROBYG. And please accept our apologies that we approach you so shortly before Christmas with this conference call, but we thought it's perhaps useful for you to get some more information, some more color on the transaction that we have effectively signed yesterday evening and announced via an ad hoc announcement in the press release yesterday evening. So therefore, we can discuss everything that is helpful for you during this call. But let us start with a short presentation that we have published on our website this morning, and perhaps you had a chance already to look at it and to download it. And perhaps you start with the executive summary on page number two and some general words about the rationale of the transaction and the main component of the deal. Yeah, we're happy that we signed yesterday evening an SPA to acquire all shares in ROBYG. ROBYG is the largest Polish residential developer with a really outstanding track record over the last 20 years. And with the help of this acquisition, we're clearly enlarging our footprint in our business in Poland. You know that we're in the market now since 2 years, had from our point of view really a success story with the help of our team, Advantage in Poland. And we simply gained a lot of confidence even during this difficult time. The last 2 years, you know that the pandemic is still there. Basically, we have been in this market only during the pandemic. And even in this situation, the market has been proven to be extremely, not only stable, but also growing. So therefore, with the help of ROBYG and with the help of Vantage, we're really looking forward to expand our business in Poland. And if you look in rough numbers at our growth targets, I mean, so far we've been talking about a midterm target of 8,000 to 10,000 residential units in Poland. Effectively, we are today doubling this target to more than 20,000 residential for rent units in Poland as our new target. That would account to approximately 20% in terms of units of our current portfolio. Yeah, ROBYG has a secured pipeline, and that's, of course, for us, of great interest, of roughly 23,000 residential units in four major Polish cities. These are not only cities where we already are, like Wrocław and Poznan, and at least to a certain part, tri-cities, so mainly Gdansk. This is especially also Warsaw. So this acquisition enables us also to enter from our point of view, attractive market in Warsaw at a very reasonable price. Out of the 23,000 units in the land bank or in the pipeline, according to our business plan as we have it today, roughly 12,000 units should be held upon completion at yielding assets, and the remainder of this development pipeline is already in the process of being sold or will be sold in the future. Looking at the purchase price is not exactly determined yet. That's depending on the exact amount of certain cash distributions to the existing shareholders. We expect that the purchase price will be around 2.5 billion zloty, and that's in euro roughly 550 million. So we think for us this is really an attractive price, especially knowing what kind of company, that means what kind of outstanding track record, excellent team, and attractive land bank we are buying. Looking at the financing, the purchase price, as well as potential refinancing of existing debt and working capital, is funded by a bridge facility that we have already in place of up to 750 million. So we will take a closer look at that later. The difference between purchase price and bridge facility, so roughly 200 million euros, is available, for example, for working capital, for further investments, or also for the early refinancing of existing debt if needed. The takeout of this bridge facility will take place in the course of 2022. And let us say very clearly, we're absolutely committed to maintaining our Ba3 investment grade rating in at Moody's. So we will clearly take this into account when looking at potential takeout transactions. Closing of the transaction is expected to take place in the first quarter of 2022. The only thing we basically have to wait for is the mandatory antitrust clearance. I mean, clearly we have to wait for this, but if you ask us if this is a high risk, no, that's definitely not a risk. So we expect that the antitrust clearance will be positive and that the closing will happen in the first quarter of 2022. There are no other conditions. Looking at the next slide, we show you some charts about our overview of our track record in Poland and the track record that we have realized over the last 2 years together with the help of our colleagues at Vantage in Poland. We have grown the business quite significantly. The total pipeline units in our current business, in our existing business in Poland, are already above 12,000 units, out of which roughly 8,500 units refer to the build-to-hold pipeline and roughly 3,600 units refer to the build-to-sell pipeline. Looking at current results, if I would need to say that simple, we're simply better than planned. So FFO2 contributions, first project that we are already renting out at Vantage, first rents that we see, that's all a little bit better than expected. And again, having in mind that we are really in a difficult time in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, this makes us very optimistic that we not only have already a good team in Poland in place, but also that the market is extremely stable and promising. Page number 4 of the presentation shows you some more details about Robic's portfolio. Robic is currently working in 4 cities. I already mentioned them. And it's important to point out again that we are now entering the Warsaw market with the help of the acquisition. And when we combine the Vantage and the Robic portfolio, you see this on the top right of page number 4, the total pro forma combined number for the portfolio stands at 39,000 units. This includes, just to make it clear, 4,000 units that are already sold by Robic. On page number 4, you also see an overview of Polish developers, and that makes it clear that after the acquisition of Robic, TAG, or the new TAG group, that means Vantage, including Robic, is by far the largest developer in Poland, and of course, and that's our core business, the largest residential for rent company in Poland. Page number 5 shows some numbers on Robic and the build-to-hold and build-to-sell pipeline. We think it's remarkable what margins, what gross profits the company Robic is achieving. So the gross profit margin for the financial year 2021 is expected to be above 30%. That's clearly outstanding. And with a team of around 450 employees, and with a history of more than 20 years being in the market, we have a lot of confidence that Robic will contribute extremely good results for us for the new TG group in Poland in the future. Looking at the type of apartments that we want to build with the help of Robic, basically the product is very much comparable to what we are already building with the help of our Vantage team. Looking at average total investment cost per square meter, that's a little bit higher than our current pipeline. So looking at the details of page number 5, if you look, for example, at the build-to-hold pipeline, the average total investment costs in Europe per square meter are around 2,300 units. That compares to roughly 2,000, perhaps a little bit less, at our current Vantage portfolio. The difference is mainly attributable to the locations like Warsaw and Tri-City, where Robic has its largest part of the portfolio. Simply, these are the markets with, for example, higher land prices, but also on the other side with higher rents. So taking into account average rent per square meter in euros between 12 and 14 euros, that would lead to an average gross rental yield for us effectively of around 7%. And having in mind that we're talking about the capital city of Poland, Warsaw, that we're talking about a city like Gdansk, we think this is an extremely attractive pricing for us. Yeah, page number six again highlights the strategic transaction rationale. We're clearly expanding our existing footprint in the Polish residential for rent market, now with a potential and a pipeline of more than 20,000 residential for rent units, out of which more than 6,600 are in the Warsaw market, which is a new market for us and highly attractive. And again, the Polish residential market clearly offers a dynamic outlook. Looking at the existing housing shortage in major Polish cities, looking at demographic developments, looking at general development in the Polish economy, this really makes us confident that we are here on a very right way. Page number seven outlines the funding. On the left side, you see a simple chart how we are financing the deal. Again, the purchase price will be 550 million approximately, and to have in place additional working capital or potential for early refinancing of financial indebtedness at Robic, there are another 200 million possible, which are then secured by a bridge facility of up to 750 million provided by four capital market banks. Just to make clear, you see this in footnote one on page number seven, how we derived at the purchase price of 2.5 billion zloty. Well, basis for that was a total transaction consideration of 3.15 billion zloty. As the company has a lot of basically excess cash at the moment in the balance sheet, the existing shareholder presumably will pay out a dividend of up to 700 million euros to them, and it's clear we are deducting then this dividend payment from this transaction consolidation, so the effective purchase price that we're paying will be around 2.5 billion zloty. That's the 550 million euros, which is then effectively what we pay. It's clear that we want to take out the bridge facility in the course of 2022, and let me confirm this once again that we're clearly committed to maintain our Ba3 investment grade rating. We have, of course, then all options on the table. Of course, we will also look at equity contributions. This could also be the case that we do selected disposals, whether this is within the Polish portfolio, whether this is within the German portfolio. That's something that we will work on in next month. And therefore, we have now the good situation really to look over the next months and quarters when we find the right timing to do your capital market transactions. And it's clearly that looking mid to long term, our LTV target of 45% will be unchanged. So we will not weaken our financial metrics now with the acquisition of Oprobic. And this is basically unchanged to what we have always said when acquiring Vantage or when entering the Polish residential for rent market, that we clearly want to have the financial metrics in good shape as they are today. And some final words on page number eight on the timeline. Yeah, clear the announcement was yesterday evening. What is now next? We're basically waiting now in the next weeks for the antitrust clearance by the authorities. In case of our Vantage transaction, that happened quite quickly. As far as I remember, this was something between 4 and 6 weeks. So normally a time frame would be around two months. So an estimate would be that the closing perhaps takes place in the course of February or in early March, but that needs to be seen. We definitely expect that this takes place in the first quarter of 2022. Yeah, that's it from our side, a short overview of this important and we think highly attractive acquisition of Robic. Of course, we are here and are happy now to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And the first question is from Pat Rosa, Berenberg. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. It's Kai Klose from Berenberg. May I have two questions? The first one is on page four. Could you explain or give more details on the two numbers that you show here for Rubik? On the table at the top right, you say 27,100, and at the chart at the bottom, 23,200. Could you explain how what the difference is? There's some explanation in the bottom left, but may you can have more a bit more details. And the second question is, what changed your view on the Warsaw market? Being a bit more positive, if I remember correctly, that vintage was not there, was not in the negative for you. So I think now going to Warsaw might also change the profile a little bit. The last question would be on the Moody's rating. Have you already been in contact with the rating agency, and if they keep the rating temporarily, even if temporarily the LTV goes up? Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Kai. Many thanks for your question. Yeah, of course, happy to explain this. Honestly, perhaps a little bit confusing number, 23,000, 27,000 units. So 23,000 units, that's the pure land bank, where construction not has started and where nothing has been sold. An additional 4,000 units has already been pre-sold and is under construction. So we can look at the pipeline in two different ways. If you count everything, so whether they're already sold or not, that's the 27,000. If you exclude the already pre-sold units, you arrive at 23,000. So that's the difference between this number.
So then you say pre-sold, it means en bloc or condo sales?
Simply sold. That's perhaps more exact to individual buyers.
Okay.
So that it's already sold, but the handover has not yet taken place.
So they're in the construction phase, so to say.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And what has changed our view on the Warsaw market? I would say simply with the help of this acquisition, we are really able to enter this market at an attractive price. Our assumption in the last 2 years, 3 years was that Warsaw is, of course, an attractive market regarding the development, like demographic developments, like rent developments. But when we looked at land prices, we always felt, well, the yields that we effectively would get when acquiring single land banks, single land plots, are perhaps not that attractive in comparison to projects that we see in Wroclaw or in Poznan. Now, with the help of this acquisition, we are effectively buying properties in Warsaw. When you look at the total investment costs and compare it with expected rents, at a close to 7% gross yield. So, and you know that we were very much looking at numbers, then this is something which is, of course, highly attractive for us. So basically, the acquisition of Rubik allows us to enter the Warsaw market at a really good price. That's the conclusion. And regarding the Ba3 rating with Moody's, of course, we are already in contact and we have discussed this acquisition with them. We know that we are then more exposed to development risk. We know that also the Polish market is something that has a different view from every rating agency compared to the German market, but we are very optimistic and very confident that we keep the Ba3 rating. I mean, we have a positive outlook currently, so before the transaction, we were more moving towards a rating upgrade. So that should provide us definitely with some kind of buffer, but it's clear Moody will release its comment not in the next days, as there's a kind of a Christmas phase, but I think as far as I know, in the course of January.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Thomas Buschhäusler, Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, everybody. A couple of questions. Firstly, I mean, the step is quite an expansion. What would you say is the maximum exposure to Poland you plan for tech over time?
Yeah, good morning, Thomas. I mean, for now, we have more than enough work to do. I mean, buying a company, buying land banks is one thing, but really getting this into real projects, real renting these properties out, really realizing the sales over the next years, that's a lot to do. I mean, we're talking here really about mid to long-term cycles. We had a total pipeline at Robic will take to 2028 until we really have realized everything, built all the units. So we're doing this step by step. And currently, in terms of units, that would account for approximately 20% to our existing portfolio. And that seems to be for us as a good number. But as we also always said, I mean, we look at such markets permanently. I mean, we will review this continuously. Should you expect a further increase shortly? No, that's not the case. So for us, it's clear that we have our core market, that's Germany, which is an extremely stable, extremely reliable, extremely predictable market. But as you know, also very competitive market where it's more and more difficult to buy portfolios at attractive yields. And then comparing that with the possibilities that we have in Poland, yes, of course, combined with a certain higher risk as we are developing these units. But seeing that we're here building brand new products or brand new houses in Poland's largest cities, in good locations, or really good construction quality at a 7% gross yield, that makes us very confident that this is the right thing to do and that it deserves a higher share than originally 10%, now more than 20% of the portfolio.
Okay. Another question. I mean, what would you say is the key motivation of Robic's management, also its shareholders, to sell it now?
Well, of course, I can't comment really what the shareholders or the existing shareholders are thinking, but knowing that private equity investors or observing that a private equity investor after 4 years of investment is selling its investment, that seems to be kind of typical in investment time. Yeah, and of course, it's also for the selling shareholders a good deal. And that does not mean that we are overpaying from our point of view. That's definitely not the case, but we simply have to acknowledge that they have entered the market 4 years ago, when perhaps at that time the confidence in this market from investors was much lower. So they for sure had made a good return, and that's simply something which is absolutely okay for us. As we know, based on the existing purchase price, we are still able to achieve very attractive returns for our shareholders.
And can you comment on the deal pricing? If you take EV/EBITDA multiple, is it correct that the 550 corresponds to EV, and then it would be roughly 7x EV/EBITDA? Is it the right view, or is there a difference?
Yeah, the total financial debt at Robic is currently in euro million, roughly 170 million, so 170. Okay. Out of which approximately 30 million are bank loans and approximately 140 million are corporate bonds. So if you put that on top of the 550 million, then you're around 700 million. Then there's a certain cash balance in the balance sheet that brings you perhaps then back to more 650. And comparing that with the expected EBITDA for 2022, then you are at an EBITDA multiple below 8x, perhaps between 7 and 8x. So that would be a kind of pricing perspective from a developer's point of view, but you know that we look at that that's more from a residential for rent perspective, and we do that then often quite simply and say, okay, what are we effectively buying? We're buying a portfolio at a 7% gross yield, so a little bit more than 14x multiple. we're buying at a little bit more than 2,000 euros per square meter total investment costs, so including land, including construction costs, including fit out, and these are for us, of course, highly attractive numbers.
If you compare the pricing, I mean, if you take the multiple and compare it with the Vantage deal, is there a big difference, or?
That's higher, but I think this is a normal market development compared to 2 years ago. Simply looking at the overall results, that's definitely for us an attractive pricing.
Mm. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Sander Dang, Barclays. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah, good morning, team. Sander here from Barclays. A couple of questions. Just one thing first on the purchase price. Just want to get clarified. I think in the announcement it says the purchase price is approximately 700 million. You're also talking about 550 million as being the net consideration. The delta is the 159. Is that effectively what's going to the sellers? And is it basically that you're paying the sellers, or is it going straight out of the company?
Mm. Yeah, good morning. So I'm happy to clarify this. Well, let's put it like this. Basis for the valuation is a purchase price or a transaction consideration, let's put it like this, of 700 million euros in rounded numbers. And the existing shareholders will receive a dividend from OBIC of around 150 million euros. So that means the company after this dividend payment is valued at 550 million euros, and that's what we pay.
Okay, so it's a 550 million consideration post the dividend payment.
Exactly.
Okay, fine, that's great. Thanks for that. Second question I had is on the on any guidance on potential value creation going forward. I mean, there is some, like, there's quite a lot of numbers flying around in terms of the amount of units that are going to be constructed over the next couple of years. But is there anything you can say in terms of the returns that you expect or the profits that you expect to make from that, and over what kind of time frame we have to think about?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we will, of course, give much more details on the future business plan of OBIC once we have closed the transaction and once we are able also to intensively discuss our business plan with the OBIC management. What we can clearly say today is that the overall returns yields are very much comparable to what you know from us from Vantage. So looking at gross yields, I already mentioned 7%, looking at EBITDA margins north of 70-75% that you know from Vantage, you should also apply such EBITDA margins to OBIC. That's very much comparable. As I said, in the sales business, the gross profit OBIC is currently achieving is above average. So while as we're looking at, you know, our Vantage portfolio at gross profits of around 25% or margins of around 25%, that's at OBIC more at 30%. That's not only due to a different market like Warsaw or like Gdansk, it's also due to the fact that OBIC is not directly employing construction workers, but is doing the whole coordination like a general constructor externally normally would do internally, so that brings an additional margin. So that means the sales business should be clearly above average. And then regarding the pipeline, as I said, we expect that this pipeline of the residential for rent units will be completed in full at latest in 2028. And we will now basically, right after closing, start to work on the first residential for rent projects. And as you know, with our history from Vantage, that will take then 1.5-2 years until the first residential for rent projects are finished. So that means from the beginning of 2024 onwards, we will have the first resi for rent contributions from OBIC, and that is then increased year by year until 2028. And again, we will definitely come up with more details, also with a guidance for the financial year 2022, after we know when the closing happened, and after we have discussed also and confirmed our business plan with the Robic management.
Okay, great. Did I hear you saying that Robic basically does their construction internally, i.e. they have their own construction platform?
Yeah, they coordinate in the construction work. So that means they're not directly hiring people who do the construction work.
They're the general contractor.
Yeah, they're basically their own general constructor.
Okay, fine. Okay, great. Just the last one for me. Just on the balance sheet of Robic, how are currently the assets being recognized? Are they currently being held at cost, or is that already at fair value?
Just a very small part of it is valued at the fair value. This is a land bank where the concrete planning has not yet started. You can take a look at the Robic balance sheets, by the way, also on the Robic homepage. Robic is not a listed company, but it has issued listed bonds, so they're issuing quarterly financial statements under IFRS. But by far, the largest part of the portfolio is valued at cost.
Okay, and that is because that's mainly then the inventories, which I guess is the largest item on the balance sheet at the moment. That's all held at cost.
Exactly.
Okay, super. All right, that's very helpful. Thanks very much, team.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from Peter Papadakos, Green Street. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Martin. Thanks for the presentation. There's two questions, maybe on the software side of things with regards to Robic management team. So can you say anything about, is there a lock-up period for them? Also just how the integration between Robic and Vantage, will there be more of an integration? Will it be sort of one company, or is the intention to keep them separate and obviously the senior people there separate? And then sort of related to that, will there be someone from TAG, sort of someone senior, even in the executive team, that will sort of focus intensely on the Polish portfolio? I imagine Claudia is really busy as it is. So how do you see that in terms of putting more resources from TAG in that business? And then finally, just a little bit on the bidding itself. Was this portfolio or this platform shopped around? Sort of, was there a competitive bidding process, or did the sellers approach you a few months ago and you took it from there?
Good morning, Peter. Sorry, the line was quite bad. I'm not sure whether I got your second part of the question. Perhaps start with the first one, which referred to the plans with the Robic management team and how we will set up the company structure. I mean, for us, the good situation is that we have now two really excellent management teams in place in Poland. So that's the already existing platform, which is our Vantage team, where we're very happy with, who delivered excellent results over the last 2 years. And then we are, of course, very happy that we have now an additional management team at Robic who has proven over the last 20 years how strong results they can deliver. So therefore, the idea is, I mean, first of all, clearly we have to wait until closing, and then we will combine the two companies, and we will work with both management teams together on a new kind of platform. What is the exact legal structure needs to be seen. I mean, as always, such things have sometimes more tax implications, but really looking at it from an operational platform, that should in the midterm be then one combined company. And yeah, we need both teams on board. I mean, we have clearly growth ambitions in Poland, so therefore, for us, it's clear we need the people. We want to keep the people on board. That does not only refer to the management teams, that also refers to the employees. So therefore, it's good also to have a larger platform to realize the ambitious plans that we have for the future. And at TAG, we have not been members of the management board in Poland so far, and this is also not the plan for the future. So we are members of the supervisory board at Vantage, and will be also members, at least this is the current status, of the supervisory board at Robic. And we are then clearly active. I mean, we should be involved in all the major decisions, but we have a lot of trust and confidence in the already existing management team as well as in the future combined management team today to do the day-to-day business, because they've really proven impressively how capable they are and have proven their skills. And Peter, perhaps you can, if this was part one of the question, if you can repeat the second part of the question, because this was hard to understand for me.
Yeah, sorry. I was just asking, was the portfolio put on the market by the sellers? It was shopped around, or did they sort of come to you a few months ago almost off market?
No, this was an auction process, which was more or less also public. So perhaps you've seen some press releases. So it's not been an exclusive process. But it has been a public auction, yeah. But looking at such transactions, looking at the transaction volume, I mean, for us as a company, that's clearly manageable. We have the access to the financing that is needed. For the Polish market, that's a large transaction. So 550 million purchase price for the German residential market would be definitely nothing small, but nothing unusual, I would say. For the Polish residential market, it's a huge transaction, and therefore, perhaps not everyone is really able to have the financing in place for such a purchase price. And this was clearly an advantage, and also the fact that we are able to pay that quite quickly, which is on a German market, honestly, not really anymore an argument. Perhaps was an argument some years back. In Poland, that's still an advantage.
Understood. Thanks, Martin. And maybe just so in terms of our modeling for the bridge loan, what type of all-in interest rate should we be assuming for our FFO calculation in 22?
I can't give you the exact basis points, but let's assume that is something between 0 and 0.5%. So in that range, so that should not be really that significant, especially as we clearly want to look at it and take out, not too late in the course of 2022.
Okay, understood. Thanks very much, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The next question is from Tom Custis. Stifel, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Morning, Martin. Questions remaining are, when you look at the units that you want to retain versus the ones you're looking to dispose of, what's the criteria that you have there?
Yeah, good morning, Tom. I would say the apartments themselves are not so much different. It really refers mainly to the micro location. That means for the resi for rent product, we clearly need a location which is more central, which has a good connection to public transport and so on, where the city center is not too far away. Whereas in the residential for sale business, I mean, we're not investing in the outskirts of the cities, but even a little bit far away from the city center, this is something that really works. So it's more something like looking at the micro location compared to a different, and it's not a different or a totally different kind of apartment.
Okay. And on the gross profit margin, you highlight 30% and why it's been so high, but I mean equally 2019 it was down 21%. Should we be looking at this 30% as sustainable, or is that a sort of exception?
We don't think that this is an exception. So also for the years 2022-2023, we're expecting such margins on the disposals. And clearly also in Poland, rising construction costs are an issue, but we have seen simply a very strong price growth in the resi for sale market in Poland. And we don't expect that this is coming to an end, as affordability ratios are simply still in good shape. So the price increase is on the back of really growing household incomes. And it's not the case that we see here a lot of supply coming to the market. The bottleneck in Poland is really getting access to land banks. And that's now our big advantage when we acquired Robic, that we have this land bank of 23,000 potential units. So therefore, we also expect for the, let's say, foreseeable future, a margin, a gross profit margin north of 30%.
And then lastly, when you acquired Vantage, you you supplied a graph which showed the rental development in the target cities. How have rents evolved during COVID?
Yeah, in some cities, when the pandemic started, rents dropped, which is perhaps nothing unusual for a non-regulated market. Reason for that was that was mainly happening in markets like Gdansk, that also a lot of short-term lease apartments came to the market. So, you know, this is kind of typical Airbnb apartments in Gdansk at the Baltic Sea, where simply no one went to holiday, where students were not there and so on. But rents have really recovered quickly. So looking at rent levels today, we are already above, at least in most locations, above the rents level that we had before the pandemic. And as I said, this whole development on the resi for rent market as well as the resi for sale market gave us much confidence. As you know, well, these 2 years where we are in the market in Poland are definitely not easy years, as the pandemic is still there. And on the sales side, on the rent side, as well as on the construction side, we've seen how good this business develops.
Great. That's it from me. Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now. And the next question is from Simon Stupik, Warburg Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Great. Good morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to ask questions. My first question would be in regard to your capital market financing. Will you undertake that in Polish zloty or in euros?
Good morning, Simon. No, this will be in euros.
Okay, and do you intend to finance them over the longer term or starting in 2022?
Can you repeat this? The line was a little bit bad.
Sorry, when you finance your Poland exposure, which will grow a lot in the future, I just wonder if you will hedge your Polish zloty exposure.
Well, that's not the plan that exactly this for 2022 and perhaps also not for 2023. I mean, we're long-term investors in Poland, and we will be now involved in Poland for years. And the basically profits that we realize, for example, with the resi for sale business, will be directly reinvested into the resi for rent units. So therefore, that point in time when we really effectively need to change zloty into euro, that will not be 2022 or 2023, as we have years of investments ahead of us. Currently, the even a little bit weaker zloty helps us. So paying the purchase price on this foreign exchange rate is a little bit more attractive than before the pandemic. This view might change us when we are in a phase where we say, okay, now we're really in the yielding phase and we expect then significant dividends paid out from our Polish subsidiaries to TEG, the holding company. Then we think it makes sense to think about foreign currency hedges more to secure visible cash flows over the next 2 to 3 years to protect dividends. But it's not the plan to do a high foreign currency hedge exposure right now, because again, we are different than, for example, a fund who's investing in those, well, after exactly 5 years, after exactly 10 years, we have to repay the debt, we have to repay the equity. And that's not the case in our company. So therefore, it's more long-term view that we look at that.
Okay, great. Thank you. And second question would be in regard to alternatives to your current acquisition. Have you looked at, for example, Muropol, which was intended to IPO in August or later this year? Did you consider that as well?
Well, please understand, Simon, that we can't comment on certain companies or certain transactions, but perhaps have been also aware that several transactions in the Polish residential for rent market, or the Polish residential market, I should say better, have happened in the last 2 years and last 3 years. And it's clear we're active on this market. We've been taking a look at that as always, and also in this transaction, we're disciplined. So we had not really pressure. I mean, we have an existing platform in Poland. We have a good team in place. We have a good track record. So we were not under pressure now to buy something. And therefore, Robyg was, for us, simply a good opportunity to buy a really outstanding company with a large land bank at a very reasonable and attractive price for us.
Okay, maybe one more question regard to your units upcoming for the next 2 years, which you say would be around 7,000 units. So as you mentioned before, your rental portfolio from Robyg should start to provide rent in 2024. So can I assume that those 7,000 units will be sold over the next 2 years?
The total sales volume should even be for next 2 years a little bit higher. We will come back to you with detailed numbers when we have had the closing. That's hopefully quite soon. It's clear 2022, 2023, these are years where we have significant EBITDA and cash contributions from the Resi for Sale business. And basically, this is very visible because what is handed over next year, in 2022, is more or less completely sold. And what is handed over in 2023 is perhaps also to a certain part in the sales process, is already in construction. So these EBITDA contributions from disposals are very visible for us. But clearly for the next 2 years, that's mainly already for sale business, as it was the case with Vantage. Yeah, if you look at the figures at Vantage, years 2020, 2021, these are ready for sale years, if you want to. And now we have the first project finished after nearly 2 years, and the Resi for Rent business kicks in, and this will be very similar with Robyg.
Okay, maybe lastly, what's your risk that the antitrust authority in Poland will restrict or block the acquisition?
We consider this to be as a really minor risk, and the reason for that is if you look at the markets where we are currently already are with Vantage, that's mainly Warsaw, that's mainly Wroclaw, that's Poznan, that's Łódź, and to a small part Krakow. Looking at the markets where Robyg is currently investing the largest part of its portfolio, that's Warsaw and Tricity. So it's not the case that we have in one city now a big combined exposure coming from two companies, and therefore we think that also knowing that this is still a fragmented market, the antitrust clearance should definitely not be a risk, but clearly we have to respect that and wait for the decision.
Okay, great. Thank you for your answers, and have some nice holidays.
Many thanks.
And the next question is from André Remke, Baader Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Martin, also from my side. Two questions. First on the purchase price. Did you receive any external view by appraisers with regard to the price? And could you provide a first indication on potential goodwill? This is the first question. And the second question is on your rating. With an even now higher development exposure, is there any risk that this will be viewed more negatively by the agency? And in addition, is there any risk on the EPRO membership due to high EBITDA contribution from developments? These are the two questions I have.
Yeah, good morning, André. First of all, we have not yet done a full portfolio evaluation. This will be done now with the closing, so therefore it's difficult to comment on the exact goodwill. I mean, we have done a quite detailed also DCF valuation on the business, and that takes into account more or less every single project. And you can assume that the valuation is definitely not below the purchase price that we have paid. So also in the, with the Vantage acquisition, it was hard for us to predict what is the exact amount of goodwill. I assume that there definitely will be a goodwill, but let's see what the final outcome of this also technical valuation will be. In terms of the rating, I would say it like this. Rating agencies, it's like do like nothing more than the German residential for rent market. So, and then every other market per se is not something negative, but is of course from a rating perspective somewhat weaker than the German markets. And again, this is not necessarily a statement that rating agencies have a negative view on Poland. I would say to the contrary, but German market is, if you want, so the AAA market. I'm very confident. I mean, we are in discussion with our rating agency about our business in Poland for 2 years. I mean, we have proven that we are successful. We both, that means TG and the rating agencies, that know the market better than 2 years before. We basically be doing nothing completely new. So simplifying this transaction a little bit, we are doing the same again, but in a larger size. And we have shown how we are able to change the business model away from this purely developer model to a business model with a focus on the resi for rent business and an additional state business. So, and I think this will also help not only the rating agency, but also perhaps certain investors to understand our view and our business model, and that we are not now changing the company into a Polish developer. So we are still a, let's say, German residential plus company. So the basis for our business is still Germany. And then we have this, what we think, highly attractive growth opportunities in Poland, also coming from developments. But to the largest part, the developments in the future will be for the resi for rent business. And the fact that we have a significant EBITDA contribution in 2022-2023 from disposals, from my point of view, that's not necessarily negative, as this EBITDA contribution, as I said, is very visible. A very large part of that is already sold, so that's simply something that needs to be worked on, but the results, I'm going to say, are almost realized. We have to finish the construction process, and that's clear, but they're very, very visible.
And the last question on the EPRA EBITDA contribution, the calculation for that. Is there any risk that you will drop out the entity?
No, we don't see here any risk.
Okay. That's from my side. Merry Christmas. See you next year.
Many thanks, Andrew.
And there are currently no further questions, so I hand back to Martin too for closing remarks.
Yeah, many thanks all for joining this conference call so shortly before Christmas. As always, we are here for any further questions also after Christmas and in between New Year's Eve. Please feel free to contact us anytime. Surely we'll have a dialogue on our Polish business in the following weeks and months. So far, I wish you all a good Christmas time, stay in good health, and talk soon again. Many thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.